The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.
Ivan in for Pat. Well, you never guess what the cat has dragged in. The most woke journalist in the country, Matt Cooper, presenter of The Last Word, journalist with the Daily Mail, the Business Post back page, a prolific author. And now he's just gone and done it because he's co-hosting a political podcast for the times that are in it with US, UK, Irish elections called Path to Power, which started last January. Tell us how this came about and who it's with and all this.
If you're leaving yourself out. I have to say, I'm actually very nervous inside here in the studio with you, Ivan. I'll tell you why I'm nervous.
Because you're a snowflake or what?
No, because it's your opportunity to interview me, to be in control. Normally, when we've worked together, either on this podcast or on television, I have a modicum of control. But this is, I think, only the second time you've ever interviewed me. And the first time, if I remember correctly, you were interviewing me about having been in North Korea with Dennis Rodman, who was possibly even easier to manage than you are to manage. But anyway, yeah.
You were in favour of the dictator there, weren't you?
No.
Big palace.
Just because you're somewhere doesn't mean that you're in support of it.
But, okay.
An interested observer, as I always am, I have an interested observer.
So how did this Path to Power thing come about? I mean, like,
I was ill.
Like you've enough to be doing.
Yeah, but I was in bed with COVID, which developed into pneumonia. And I think I was actually hallucinating at the time because I was listening to various podcasts such as The Rest is Politics and thinking to myself, geez, there could be an Irish version done of this. Who would I do it with? Who would be? And I said, geez, could I really take on the toil of working with Ivan Yates again after the 3 years together on the television? And I said, Asher, it's worth a shot. And in fairness, when I rang you, you actually jumped at it very, very quickly. And it took a bit of time to organise. But when we did, I think, in fairness, I hope you agree,
yeah,
we've been having a bit of fun doing it. I mean, I know we're dealing with serious issues all the time, but I think hopefully we're doing it, as we will do in the stage show next Wednesday and Friday, in an entertaining way.
Well, the truth is that the media is changing. As we know, with print newspapers, no one under 40 buys it. And what I've learned from the process is, leaving aside Path to Power altogether, younger people do not want to be told, tune in to a radio or TV programme at a particular time, I'm busy. But when they go for a walk or whatever, they want to put in their earphones, and podcasts facilitate that. And BBC, you know, I hear what they're putting into BBC Sounds in Bristol, over 600 people working there. It is the future.
Hold on. Stop talking to our radio. You're still working in a radio station.
No.
I work day by day, Monday to Friday, and today FM. And I want, radio is going to continue to have a big future. This is just something that's different. Podcasts are different.
Do you think, out of interest, because you're a prolific writer, do you think newspapers have a future?
Well, you know, somebody was telling me the other day, which is really worrying for newspapers, for the physical printed product. Many shops that we would regard call news agents aren't even stocking newspapers anymore. Or when they do, they're placing them down somewhere that's very, very hard to find, on the floor, over in a corner. Now, they can say they're responding to consumer demand, but it's sort of feeding off each other. And that's really worrying. Now, that said, I think an awful lot of people, you say people under the age of 40 aren't consuming newspapers. They're consuming news. I mean, they're reading off their smartphones.
But when you put it behind a paywall, Irish Times, Independent, only a fraction of those who were reading newspapers are actually paying for it.
You know, newspapers are behind a paywall. You
no, that's what I'm saying.
Pay money.
No,
when
that's
you,
what I'm saying, but
you
know, they're not doing it.
No,
so everyone wants the news and information, but they're not, monetizing it is not easy.
Yeah, but I suppose people would pay for what they need. I mean, I think a lot of people realise you don't get proper quality stuff for nothing. I mean, maybe people think they're getting it for nothing from RT, but by God, they're actually paying for it. They're paying for it through
indeed
their taxes.
So the podcast has gone since early January. We've obviously real peak political time coming into the elections and so on, which we'll discuss. So how did you drag me? Like, I only thought 20 people would turn up. I've never done this before. A live show. Who the F do you think you are, Ivan, that people would turn up in the Olympia? I didn't mind the Cork Opera House so much because there's a podcast festival every night. There's a different one. So next, and you know what I'm after doing, because the people in News Talk are so good to give this plug, essentially, I said I'd give them a rake of free tickets in here. Because I gave away, not even to my family members, one free ticket. What can people expect at 8 o'clock? There's a few, last of the chalk houses of, you know, scarcity is a great principle of selling.
Or very dynamic pricing for the remaining tickets, is it?
So, Wednesday night, Olympia. Friday night, 8 o'clock, quarter eight, whatever it is, in Cork Operas. What can people expect? I mean, like, more of your woke nonsense?
Just for anyone who may not be familiar, obviously, that you every time you call me woke on the podcast, there's €20 going into a swear jar. And at the end of the series, we're going to take all the money, which is running into a few hundred at this stage, and we're going to place it on a bet for charity. And hopefully,
but I can imagine,
your betting expertise.
Wednesday is after the Kamala thing in Philadelphia, which we discussed the debate earlier on the programme. I mean, you'll just be just in one sort of democratic dreamland, won't you? I mean, like, you're anti-Trump.
Do you not know me yet? Do you not know me?
You're not a Trump lover anyway.
Oh, God, no. Well, are you?
No, but put it like this, I can reconcile the fact that he might get elected.
I actually, very possible that he get elected. In fact, I would have said up until a week ago, I thought the things had swung to Harris. Now I think they might be swinging back to Trump. I think this debate on Tuesday night could be absolutely crucial. And think about it. You know, people say about, you know, what they call mainstream media that isn't relevant anymore. Think of how relevant that debate between Trump and Biden was. That was defining this year of the way politics has gone since. And there's the potential for Tuesday night's debate to be defining as well. Can this be where Harris shows herself to have the mettle to be able to beat Trump? Because if she was to lose to Trump in the debate, all the momentum swings back to Trump as well. So that's going to give us lots to talk about on Wednesday night. And we have guests.
Yeah, I was joking, because you've held back on revealing the guests. And I think the least you could do now on a Friday. No. So who are the guests in each of the shows?
Okay, well, I'll tell you what we've decided to go for, what I've encouraged you to go for. I'm actually really interested in opinion polls coming into elections, how much store we actually place by them, how much we can believe by them, do they ever get it right? So Kevin Cunningham of Ireland Thinks has very kindly agreed to join us on stage, despite the fact that he hasn't been entirely impressed by what you and I
I'm going to barbecue him now. He does know that.
No, don't say that. I've encouraged him to come on.
These polls have been completely underestimating Fianna Fáil's strength, overestimating Sinn Féin's strength. And I mean, like, I'm just wondering, you know, are you talking to the same 3,000 or 4,000 people? You know, some people say, I've never seen it. Whereas, if you present someone with a specimen ballot paper in Leitrim and say, who are you going to vote for? That will be very accurate.
Well, it might not necessarily be very accurate, as he will explain to you on Wednesday night and to the audience, because I had this discussion with him yesterday. And the other guest we have is somebody very familiar to Newstalk Studios, former Government Press Secretary Mandy Johnson. So,
will she tell all her secrets about Bertie and Charlie McGreevy?
Well, that's what you promised me she would. That's up to you to actually get
her. But she's a very fine political man. And I often speak to Mandy about Fianna Fáil under Bertie and Fianna Fáil under Micheál Martin and his style of leadership. Yeah. And, you know, he's who would have thought? Leo's gone, Eamon Ryan's gone, and the big survivor is the oldest guy. He was 64. Which, you know,
just shows for people of your age group there's still a bit.
Well, I'm 65 next month. I've no long term plans. So,
That's the Dublin show. The Cork show has different guests, and it'll be a different show because it will be targeted towards Cork rather than to Dublin. So we'll be examining the Cork constituencies. Ivan, you'll have to make your usually reliable, accurate assessments of what's going to happen in the various constituencies, and we'll do something similar for Dublin. And I've a few little extra things that I have in mind specifically for the Cork audience, which I might jump on you at the last minute.
So that's okay. I also should say, in a moment of weakness, bad enough agreeing to work with Matt and produce at least one podcast a week, about 45 minutes, and it's free at the moment, but that I've agreed to do with Sean Defoe, the Paul Core editor of the Bauer Group, which includes both stations, 43 individual podcasts called Calling It. We did it before. Tens of thousands of people tuned into it. Every journalist plagiarized it. And then, of course, anything I got wrong, they absolutely urinated all over it. So it's a hostage to nothing. But we will be talking about, there's Dublin, 12 constituencies, 49 TDs. It's gone up 4. 2 more on the north side, 2 on the south side. We'll be actually, I don't think anyone has previewed it so far. A lot of the conventions are taking place, even the additions. So I've been speaking to all my deep throats. And in Cork, there are 5 constituency. You take a lot of the north side of the city's gone into the south side. Skelps from Blarney and Ballincollig have moved around.
It's not the north side gone into the south side as such. It's more about facing north, heading up towards Mallow and things. And that's meant
and Ballincollig?
Ballincollig is out to the west.
That's right.
And that, and Bishopstown previously has gone between north, central and south.
So you're
central
from Cork, you see.
I am.
I know. Yeah. Another of your big failings.
So you actually missed the opportunity to call me a woke Cork man.
Absolutely. Well, I'm going to have to be nice to Cork people. So, yeah. I was saying at the top of the show, Harris was out last night saying it'll be a March election. No, it won't, darling. The fact of the matter is that it'll be no later than the 15th of November. Why he goes on with this, I just don't know.
You better be right on that.
I am absolutely convinced.
Because I've been saying to you for months that I thought that Simon Harris wanted to go the whole way for fear that he never got another shot of an Taoiseach,
yeah.
For fear that they would lose in the election, he wouldn't get to go to Washington to meet the president in March, do those things. And once you get your grip on power, you don't want to let it go. You don't want to take a chance. So you persuaded me that the election was definitely going to be in November. I've come to believe it. And I have cancelled my own trip to New York for the election, which I wanted to bring the programme over because I expect now that, yes, it will be around the 14th or 15th of November, and we're going to have to be here to cover all of these things.
Well, number one, he's put a deadline himself, the 22nd of September, for Fine Gael's manifesto and every selection convention. Why would you do that if you're having a March election? Secondly, he is obligated, with Joe Kerry retiring and Clare, to have 6 by-elections with the MEPs elected and so on in January, because the 6-month rule after the Piers Doherty judgment. He's not going to do that. But most of all, Leo called the last election on the 14th of January 2020, and it was a disaster. The freezing cold weather, people short of cash, people in tents, people on trolleys. It is just, like Bertie was right, the right time to have an election is summer. The next best is just after a budget, in my opinion. So we have a number of moving parts. Like, this is going to be a bigger dole, 160 up to 174. There's six extra constituencies. What's your own personal? Because you never get off the fence. You argue politics with me, but we never know what Matt really, and you never said who you voted for.
Nobody even in my family knows who I've ever voted for.
I know. You should have gone for the priesthood, really. So what's your sense of where this will end? Because we had 6 months of a caretaker administration. So fast forward to next.
Sorry, that could be Simon Harris's best chance of actually getting to Washington.
Yeah.
Is that by the time March comes around, there still isn't a new government formed?
So who do you
think
will be Taoiseach this time next year?
I have no idea.
Right.
Well, no, I have certain ideas, but no. The point is, you know, everyone going on early. Remember when Donald Trump was grazed by the sniper's bullet a few months ago, and everyone said, absolutely certain, he is a slam dunk president, he's unbeatable. And I remember saying to him, wait, let's see what happens. And then what happens is Biden gives up because of it. Kamala Harris comes forward, and suddenly it's a toss up between the two. We don't know who's going to win. You have, anything can actually happen. I mean, you're around long enough.
Yeah.
You're around longer than me.
Yeah.
You know to expect the unexpected. I mean, could it be, for example, that Simon Harris will use the scandal of the bicycle sheds in Dáil Éireann to persuade his government colleagues, we can't go to the country now in case we get blamed for that?
All right. As always, I read out the waspish text as well as the night one.
Waspish about me or about you?
I'll tell you now. I've an imagine. Just to let you know, I really enjoy your podcast, Path to Power. You're a great Jew, says Joe and Dundalk. What's this waffle from Cooper? May I see that, in my view, nobody will turn up, end of. Somebody, I think it was either Mario or Vincent Brown, said it was Cooper and Looper who was doing
that. That's Mario.
Yeah,
that's Mario,
after, and not too far out. Hello. I was so happy when I tuned into News Talk this morning and heard Matt Cooper. I'm a huge fan. I'm so ecstatic that I can hear Matt at an early hour. Well, that deluded listener on that point. I let Matt go, and I look forward to seeing as many who want to end the Olympia. And thank you for News Talk for today. And don't forget, calling it will also be on. I'm going to make me.
The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.
Meatballs next.